let you pick first.
I guess we could go east to west, maybe.
Okay, east to west it is. Let's start with the AL East. And how do you want to do it, Noobs? Do you want to go first? You're an AL East guy.
I'm going to let you start. Okay, well, I think that, you know, Toronto is going to be back up at the top of the division. I'm not sure if they're going to win it because I think Boston got a lot better this year. You know, with the signing of David Price, I feel like the Red Sox overpaid for David Price, considering his postseason failures, if you will.
Yeah.
But he is a great regular season pitcher, and really what it's about is getting to the postseason, which is very difficult to do. Only 33% of the teams qualify for the postseason, two of those teams having to play in a one-game playoff. So, yeah, you know, I think, but getting back to the Blue Jays, I think that offense is going to be incredibly strong again.
There's no way that offense is not going to be right up at the top.
Absolutely.
No way.
I mean, they're going to score a lot of runs.
Mm-hmm. It's the same team, only with Troy Tulowitzki for the whole year.
Yeah. Exactly. So expect them to
line up. Yeah.
Now, as far as the pitching, Mark Burley retired.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, they lost Price, but he was only there for like half a season anyway.
Yeah.
But they've got like Marcus Stroman, who showed.
I think is going to be an all-star caliber pitcher.
I think so too.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Yordano Ventura, except with a head on his shoulders.
Uh huh.
You know? And so, you know, and then was it Marcos Estrada?
Uh-huh.
He pitched really well last year. So let's see if he can keep that going.
It's not necessarily a real deep rotation.
It's not. But
you
if
know,
they're
R.A.
scoring
Dickey, bleh,
if they're scoring you know, six J. runs
half,
a game.
But yeah, they're going to score so much that,
you know,
they're going to give those bottom half guys a chance to win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for second place, I have it's either going to be them or the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm feeling. I feel like they're going to finish 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Yankees kind of overachieved a little bit last year. I think A-Rod had a really good bounce, or you know,
first half especially.
Yeah, I don't want to call it a comeback because it was, you know, he wasn't injured; he was suspended due to PED use. But he had a good first half of the year. Teixeira outperformed expectations, I think, before his injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a couple. They've got a good bullpen, great bullpen.
They've got a really great lights out 7, 8, 9.
Totally.
But when you look at their rotation, the Yankees, that is, nobody blows you away. I mean, maybe CC bounces back after getting himself into better health.
You know,
he's always had kind of a rubber arm and one of these guys that'll just keep pitching until he's not effective. But I don't know. I mean, Tanaka, he's had injury problems. He's okay. Then you're looking at Luis Severino, Michael Pineda, who's all right. Nathan Eovaldi, not great.
No, I mean, nothing really, you know, and I don't think really CC's been, you know, he's kind of been falling off for a couple of years now.
He has been, yeah.
You know, but he was dealing with some personal issues at the end of last year. So we don't really know how big of an impact that had on his pitching.
Right.
If it did, and he's got everything kind of in line this year and maybe comes back, like you said, he lost some weight and maybe his head's on a little bit more straight. You never know. And it is the Yankees.
No, they're not going to be bad.
No.
I mean, when you look at their lineup, it's definitely older. You know, you look at their 3-4-5 and Carlos Beltran, Teixeira, and A-Rod.
Right.
That's an old 3-4-5. Even if they play all right, they're not going to, you know, tear the league apart.
Right.
Chase Headley, you know, pretty good power at third base. Didi Gregorius is a little here and there. Starlin Castro has been a project in Chicago.
McCann's got a lot of power from
McCann
the catcher spot.
Solid. I'll be curious to see what Starlin Castro does for him. He never really worked out the way the Cubs wanted him to, so they shipped him off. I mean, Ellsbury and Gardner are good up top. But
Ellsbury had kind of a disappointing season last year.
He's
had some nagging injuries.
And Gardner's been a little bit maligned by the New York press, which I think is a little unfair. But
it's a tough place to play.
Yeah, I don't see them making it to the playoffs this year. I don't either.
I think the division's too strong.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even Baltimore has got some good, you know, they got some pop. Chris Davis hit over 40 home runs last year.
They were down
Adam
last
Jones.
Year. They did underachieve.
Right.
But, I mean, they still have a lot of talent. It's just that their rotation is a little bit suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Ubaldo Jimenez is your number one starter.
Yeah, that's not good.
He's had an up and down career, and he's no spring chicken by baseball standards.
No, and even if he has some kind of like crazy, you know, once every 5 years, let's say he wins 20 games,
which he's not going to.
There's still a huge drop off. You know what I mean? They're just not.
No.
You know, and so who's that rounding out fifth? We got Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean Tampa Bay is Chris Archer is great. He's one of the best young pitchers in the game. They've got some, you know, they still got Longoria and, you know, some good young talent like Tampa Bay always does.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Does that mean they're going to skyrocket up to the top of the division over Toronto and Boston?
I don't think so.
And we haven't really even discussed Boston's lineup yet. I mean, yeah, Big Poppy, old, but he hit 37 home runs last year.
I know. He just keeps doing it.
He's going to have his swan song this season, mm-hmm. receiving dinner plates in Arizona. Pablo's no guarantee to start at third. He's in an open competition for that position.
Right.
But, I mean...
And I guess they're just going to try and put Hanley over at first.
Right. That's... I mean, I guess that'll work.
Yeah.
I mean...
But I like their youth, though. You know what I mean? I like Castillo.
Mookie Betts.
Uh-huh. Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yep.
They've got a lot of talent, you know?
And their rotation, which was a source of great frustration last year for fans, is definitely better. The bottom half of it, we'll see. Joe Kelly, not a big Joe Kelly fan. Rick Porcello, I don't know.
They paid him a lot of money,
yeah.
So he really needs to step up this year.
You know, he was a middle-of-the-road guy in Detroit.
Right.
But
Clay Buchholz, man,
I'm telling you, that guy's solid. Last year, yeah. Despite, a weird season, and Price is now their new number one. I think it's kind of a two horse race between Toronto and Boston.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I would say that the Yankees will probably be 500-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Although if somehow they manage to get more out of their starting rotation, and then could turn it over the bullpen like the Royals have done the last couple of years, I think they could win more games.
Yeah. But no, if they can get to the bullpen, then they're going to be looking good if they're up in those late innings because, you know, they do have some shutdown guys.
Right, but they don't have that same kind of lineup that the Royals did that allowed them to get the lead, the speed game, the small ball. I don't know. They're not like the Royals.
The Royals, too, were able to, like, they could even be down late,
uh-huh.
and they just somehow were able to scrap together some runs.
Yeah, just
because,
like you
said,
scrappy team.
Contact hitting, mm-hmm. getting the guys over.
Yeah. I will be curious to see how Tampa Bay does, though. They're just such a hard team to follow year to year because they can't retain anybody in free agency.
Right.
And then they had that whole thing where, like, their whole front office basically took off, you know, left for places like L.A. and blah, you know. But, I'd be surprised if it wasn't Toronto and Boston up at the top of the division.
I could see that being the best division, though, again. As far as like everybody's going to be at like above 500 or even like the lower end teams, I think like Tampa Bay could still win like 75 games.
They could. They very well could. And then, you know, Baltimore was one of the kind of disappointing teams in the American League last year.
Yeah.
Having won the division prior.
I mean, they were actually technically, you know, kind of hanging around there at the last couple weeks of the season. They still had an outside shot
at
getting the wild card. They kind of fell apart, but I mean.
And they don't have a good bullpen.
No.
You can't underscore the bullpen in any divisional race. Yeah. That's a big thing.
I think you're going to see a lot of runs coming out of that division, though, between Boston, Toronto, and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, look at Baltimore's 1-2-3. Machado, Adam Jones, Chris Davis.
That's awesome.
That's a lot. They still have J.J. Hardy, Matt Wieters. You know, Trumbo's kind of a bum. Pedro Alvarez is now their DH. Hyunsoo Kim. I mean, they're gonna score runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're saying Boston and Toronto fighting it out. Perhaps Toronto being up at the top. Maybe two playoff teams, though, coming out of that division.
That's my expectation.
Okay. All right. Now let's move on to the Central, which I think is one of the more intriguing divisions in either league. Obviously, the Royals have back-to-back pennants and are now World Series champs.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this prediction through one of these, you know, advanced, you know, stat graph kind of things where it tabulated, and it had the Royals pegged for like 75 wins this year, which I don't think is fair. I don't think you can just crunch numbers after you win back-to-back pennants and still have a somewhat similar team.
Right.
And no, the Royals are going to compete for the division again.
Well, there's no analytics for clubhouse.
No.
Camaraderie.
You couldn't punch the analytics in for the way they came back over and over and over again.
Right.
In the World Series, in the divisional series. You couldn't figure that out with a computer.
No.
That's just who they are.
No.
So look who they have back. They've got basically the same lineup. Lorenzo Cain, Eric Hosmer, Alex Gordon, Salvador Perez, Omar Infante, Escobar. I mean, it's a very similar team. Now in the rotation, you have Edison Volquez, Yordano Ventura, Ian Kennedy, Chris Young, Chris Medlin. Not the strongest rotation in the world after you get past top couple of guys if they achieve up to their level. But still, they're going to be the same kind of scrappy team.
For sure. And the division itself, I don't think is like world beaters.
Not world beaters per se. But I do think the division is kind of coming up. And one team I would say you got to look out for is the Twins.
I agree with that.
Who really came on late last year.
Yes.
And kind of hung around all season. They just didn't have any star power, so they didn't get any national coverage.
No.
And they really still don't in terms of, you know, other than Joe Mauer's been a name forever, but he's not the player he was as an MVP.
Right. But they got some good like young guys like Sano, Buxton.
Yeah, they do. And I think they're a team that could compete, will compete for the division, not necessarily saying they're going to win it, but I think they'll be right up there.
I think so, too.
Even more so than, say, the Tigers, who are going to score runs again. And obviously Justin Verlander is still, you know, a name, and Anibal Sanchez. And they did pick up Jordan Zimmermann.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to have a decent rotation if Verlander bounces back. But I don't know. I kind of feel like the Twins could make some noise this year.
I think so, too. I kind of have Kansas City and Minnesota up there at the top myself. But to me, this is one of those divisions where, like, I could see the winner not even get into 90 wins.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like an 86, 87 win might get it done season, might get it done in the Central. Because I think there's just a lot of mediocrity, to be honest with you. Like, nobody's going to be really horrible, but I don't think anybody's going to be – you're not going to see a 100-win team come out of this division.
Maybe not.
I don't feel like – but, you know, you look at Cleveland.
I mean,
you know,
Cleveland's another one of those popular teams that
right.
has been supposed to take the leap, who made it to the one-game playoff the other year, but hasn't been like – they haven't really exploded yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a trendy pick for guys that want something new out of the AL Central to right. win the division.
Right.
And they are pretty good. I mean, they have some nice offensive pieces. They've got Corey Kluber, who won a Cy Young. But I don't know. I'm not necessarily a believer in Cleveland, per se.
I'm not.
Although they're well coached.
You know, I love Terry Francona, as a manager. I love Tito. But he, you know, I don't know. I kind of think that they're going to be third or fourth, you know, with Chicago bringing up the rear, even though that was my trendy pick. I must have blacked that out.
What, you picked the White Sox?
Yeah.
I think it was maybe an instance of having blacked out the night before.
Nah, that's
and then
what it
just
was.
Kind of thinking off the top of your head. Oh, the Central? No, I'll go with the White Sox.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like picking a name out of a hat.
Right. I'll be curious to see about the Royals, though, going back to it, if they're still able to be that bullpen-heavy team.
Right.
You know, that's – I don't know.
Plus, you got to wonder, too, how they handle success.
Uh-huh.
Like, granted, they went to the World Series 2 years ago, and then they came back, had a great year last year, actually won it all.
Right.
Very convincingly, too, over the Mets. But, you know, you just, like, when you actually get it done and you actually win, I wonder if there's going to be, like, this collective, like, sigh of relief in the organization.
Right.
You know, because they had been down for so long. You know, I don't expect them to be.
20 some odd years.
Yeah. I mean, literally, it had been, almost 30 years since they had last gone to a series. 85, I guess it was. But, yeah, so, you know, I don't expect them to be cellar dwellers, but I could see a little bit of a drop off.
I could see a little bit of a drop off.
Not 75 wins.
No. No, no.
Who was that 538 that you...
538?
Yeah, they're kind of like this advanced analytics thing.
Oh,
kind of like an offshoot of ESPN. And
The team that projected them to win like 75?
Yeah.
It's one of these that MLB Network always sources,
okay.
And I'm forgetting. It's like fan graphs or something like that. I'm going to say that the Royals and the Twins gutted out for the top of the division.
I would agree with that.
That's what I'm going with.
And like you said, though, if the Tigers... if their starting rotation can be what it could be, then watch out, because they do have a lot of power in that lineup.
They do have a lot of power.
Especially if Miggy stays healthy throughout the whole year.
And, you know, when we predict these things, one thing that's really hard to predict from an outsider perspective, in the sense that, you know, we don't know the AL Central like a fan that had a team in the AL Central.
Right.
Bullpens are really hard to predict. Now, we know a lot about the Royals, obviously, because that's been a huge part of their success the last 2 years. But, you know, the team that winds up having the strongest bullpen in any given division, if they're competitive as is, that's the kind of thing that propels a team from being middle of the pack to maybe winning things. And they're hard to predict because they change so much year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Even closers, there's only a handful, a very, very small handful of reliable closers year in and year out in the big leagues. It's really hard. So you have guys that have one or two really good years in the role, and then you got to find the next thing. You look at the Giants, won 3 World Series in 5 years with 3 different closers.
Right.
And that's not common to be able to replace them that quickly. So bullpens are weird. Any one of these divisions could ultimately be decided by whose bullpen steps up, and that's hard to predict from where we sit.
It really is. You know, and then you've got these guys like, you know, Aroldis Chapman, you know.
He's one of those guys that is pretty darn on top year
right.
to year.
But he, you know, toiling away with the Reds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like some of these guys are just never even going to get the opportunity to be the guy. You know, I mean, I don't think very many people last year would have thought Juris Familia from the Mets
right.
would have had as many saves, but his rotation was so good that they were up 2-1 in the 8th.
Exactly.
And in the 9th, and they were able to, you know, get him 40-plus saves, I think it was.
And the guy that the Mets had penciled in to be their closer at the beginning of the season got suspended for PEDs for the second time and has now failed his 3rd one
yeah.
and has a lifetime ban out on him. So that was who they were going to have be their closer
right.
1 year ago from right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they won the pennant with somebody else.
Yep.
So that's how quickly it changes
exactly.
in that role. That being said, let's move on to the AL West. And I think it's all Texas in the AL West.
Ooh.
I think it's Astros, Rangers, who's gonna come out on top.
Yeah.
The Astros are young.
They are.
They had a tough time. They couldn't beat the scrappy Royals, even though they had the lead in the series and a commanding lead in the deciding game. But Carlos Correa is one of those kids that everybody likes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He was a really kind of breakout rookie last season, as predicted.
For sure.
He could be a superstar. They wind up with, you know, their rotation. They're also going to have – they had last year's Cy Young winner, of course, in Keuchel. Colin McHugh's pretty good. Doug Fister at the bottom. Mike Fierce, I don't know. But I like the Astros a lot. And then the Rangers, who everybody, us included, thought would be a 90-plus loss team last season and started in that fashion last year. The Rangers did not get out of the gate well.
No.
They looked as bad as we thought they were going to be, and then they just flipped the switch and wind up in the playoffs.
Right. Well, they stayed relevant long enough to be able to get Cole Hamels.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed in the conversation, and everybody was thinking, oh, that move is for the future. And I was kind of looking at it. I'm like, well, they're only like 3 or 4 games back at the wild card about halfway through the year.
Right.
Even though, like you said, they kind of stumbled out of the gate. I don't think I thought they were going to be as bad as you thought.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they were going to, but the Yu Darvish injury, I thought, definitely hurt them. He's back healthy this year. They're going to have Cole Hamels for the entire year. You know, and they got a couple other good guys in that rotation.
Derek Holland's okay. Colby Lewis right. is okay.
And Tolleson's going to be the closer, yeah?
I think so.
Yeah. So the one thing I'm worried about with them is their outfield because they have, what, Sinchu Chu and Josh Hamilton, who really had kind of a poor year last year. I think he's done.
Yeah.
The one bright spot is Delino DeShields.
Yeah.
I like him, man.
Yeah.
He had a great rookie year. I think he hit like 260. He had like 25 stolen bases.
Yep.
Maybe we need a little bit more pop out of him if he's – and I
Prince
say we.
Prince Fielder was one of the comeback players last
yes.
year.
Yeah. Didn't he win
Did
comeback?
Did he wind up winning it?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
He should have.
He should have.
If anything's right with the world, he should
right.
have had it. And so, you know, and then I've always been a Beltre guy. Elvis
oh, yeah.
Andrews, even though he had that nightmare in Toronto during the playoffs where I think he committed like 3 errors
yeah.
in one inning.
That was crazy.
I mean, that was just, I mean, so.
That was a wild game.
That was a wild game. But I like their infield. It's their outfield I'm a little worried about. But, you know, there's a lot of power to be had in that ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it could be a 1-2 race. I like the Astros. I like their youth, like you said, you know. Gomez is only like 30, you know, Correa is like 21.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve is only 26 years old.
Which is amazing.
You know, so they're, yeah, because it feels like he's been around for a minute. You know?
You know, he's going to be one of those guys, if he stays healthy, because you look at the way he approaches the game,
yeah,
he's going to wind up pushing 3,000 hits.
Right.
If he stays healthy.
Yeah. No, I think he's a future Hall of Famer.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that middle infield, they're going to be good for a long time. They just need to not strike out so much. Guys like Jake Marisnik, Colby Rasmus, mm-hmm, Evan Gattis. They still have Gattis, right? I think. But anyway, they struck out a lot is the point last year. I mean, yeah, they hit a lot of home runs, but you know, that you kind of tend to see that in the playoffs and maybe not be the formula.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, it gets you through the regular season. You can hit a lot of jacks.
The Astros, that is.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, they strike out way too much.
They strike out way too much. And yeah, so if they can kind of shore that up a little bit, you know, like you said, they have, what, McHugh, and I think, what's the third guy, McCullers?
Let's see here. Let me check. You talking lineup here?
Like, no, in the rotation. It's like
Lance. Oh, in the rotation. Colin McHugh, Mike Fiers, Doug Fister, Scott Feldman.
Okay.
Yeah. Some question marks there.
Yeah.
But
Fierce had a no-hitter last year.
He did have a no-hitter.
But that happens sometimes.
He's kind of a journeyman.
To mediocre guys.
I agree with you, though, about the strikeouts, and that's the same thing that's going to need to happen for the Cubs. If you want to succeed in the postseason, you can't strike out, you know, basically two out of every three outs.
Right.
You know, you've got to put the ball in play.
Right.
Because things happen.
Things happen.
When you put the ball in play.
Totally.
All the time. So, yeah, that'll be a big one. Looking further down the division, the Mariners, I don't know. I mean,
that's my sleeper pick.
That's your sleeper. And that's, yeah, that's not a bad sleeper pick. I mean, they've been supposed to be that team for,
right,
like 3 or 4 years now.
I like some of the additions, though, they made. They've got Nori Aoki, mm-hmm, or Aoki, leading off now,
yeah,
which is going to be big if he stays healthy. And then Adam Lind's coming over from the Brewers. He's going to be kind of like hitting fifth or sixth, probably behind Kyle Seager.
Yeah, he's got some pop.
He's got some pop.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pitcher's ballpark, but he's not a bad player.
And I guess Cano's been having a decent spring. Mm-hmm. They got Nelson Cruz. Like, I like that lineup.
Yeah, I saw Tom Verducci do a thing on their center fielder, Leonis Martin. I might, mm-hmm, be pronouncing that wrong.
Right.
He's supposed to be one of these guys that he's been a big talent that hasn't quite come to fruition, and mm-hmm, they took him over from Texas, and he's supposed to maybe be a linchpin and a possible, you know, steady offense. But I don't know. I mean, their rotation's pretty. I mean, obviously King Felix and Iwakuma is a good player.
Right.
Wade Miley at three. I don't like Wade Miley at all. They like this guy Walker, a right-handed pitcher. I'm going to pronounce his first name
Tawan.
Tawan.
Tawan, I think.
And he's supposed to potentially be real good.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys that could put them over a bit of a hump if he matures.
Wasn't he pitching in Colorado?
I think he was.
So now, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like night and day with those ballparks.
Yeah. So they're kind of a question mark.
I just, you know, I don't know how much of a sleeper they are, because like you said, they've been kind of like a, I don't want to say trendy pick, but they've kind of supposed to have been good. I mean, because they were like really competing 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
They were definitely sniffing the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you know, the Cano signing, I guess so far, maybe you could kind of consider it a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can regain his form that he had there in his later years of the Yankees, I like the lineup, and you gotta love King Felix and Iwakuma at 1-2.
Right.
Like you said, Wade Miley. You know, like you talked about, you know, the bullpen being a big question mark year to year. You don't really know what you're going to get.
Right.
I kind of feel like there's starting pitchers out there that are like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like they'll just one, like every couple of years they'll just bounce, you know, break out and have like a 17 win season.
Oh yeah, happens, you know, all the time. And I think, as we'll get to next week, Jake Arrieta is going to be one of those guys. But we'll get to that next week.
Okay.
But
that's what I mean. Like, if all these things, if all the stars align,
uh-huh,
that's when you get these years where you're like, what the heck? Like last, right, year with the Rangers, you're like, I don't think many people expect them to win the division.
No, and their bullpen was a big part of that, actually.
Right. And uh-huh, so, you know, it's with anything with baseball and any sport, but baseball especially, because you've got, you know, all these moving parts. You got a 25-man roster. You know, it's basically like, you know, you're pitching and you're hitting. It's not like basketball where it's like this kind of cohesive thing where you have five guys that all kind of pretty much do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everybody rebounds, everybody passes, everybody, you know, everybody shoots. But with baseball, there's all these moving parts, and you need everything to kind of just align perfectly.
Right.
You know, and I just feel like Seattle, maybe this could be the year, because I don't like L.A. No, and I don't like Oakland.
No, the Angels really didn't do anything. I mean, they picked up Andrelton Simmons, who's a great glove, but not an offensive powerhouse by any means. Right. Not that going defense isn't a priority, but
totally.
He's not a difference maker, I should say. Not going to put you over the top. And then their rotation is really not that interesting. I mean, Garrett Richards is pretty good, but Jared Weaver is, you know, on the downside of his career. And then the A's, I mean, they tried to fix their bullpen, which was a complete disaster last year. Just a Titanic of a disaster. But I don't know. I mean, you look at the A's lineup. You know, Billy Burns could be pretty good. He's definitely really good in center. Lowry, Reddick, Chris Davis, Stephen Vogt is definitely a very underrated player and catcher. Danny Valencia, Billy Butler on the downside of his career. Marcus Semien, who is just one of the worst defensive players in the league.
Oh, my God.
He's so bad. I don't know. I mean, Sonny Gray is great. I think the A's have the potential to have two or three all-stars maybe. But I don't know if they can really compete for in a division that has a couple of pretty decent teams up top.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, maybe they can finish fourth.
Maybe.
Like, because I think L.A. might be that bad.
Yeah, I mean, the Angels are nothing special other than having a couple of really great names in the middle of their lineup.
Absolutely.
And
I mean,
Pujols and Trout.
Yeah, you got Pujols and Trout. That's fantastic, and anybody would take that. But what do you have around them?
That's the whole thing.
With baseball, you know, getting back to my point I was trying to make a few minutes ago, is that, you know, the thing about baseball is you can only influence one out of every nine at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not like LeBron James, you can just take a game over.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you only have so much influence.
Yeah, it's true. And I know that, you know, people will sometimes, in that regard, refer to football as one of the great team sports in America just because you have two sides of the ball that have to work independently.
Yes.
But you also have a quarterback position, for example, that
which influences
much of the game.
Every play on offense
relies on the quarterback.
No doubt.
You know, at times people can, you know, a player can take over a series. Madison Bumgarner took over the series.
Yeah.
But
even a starting pitcher only affects it every 4 or 5 days.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
I think baseball is the ultimate team game.
At least in America, I think it is.
For sure.
Yeah. And I don't know. I to finish up the AL West, like you said, I think the two best teams, unquestionably, are probably the Astros and the Rangers. But last year, you know, we were touting the Mariners and the White Sox. So
totally. And I just so there's that.
Yeah.
But I just, like, every year there's always a team that you don't expect to do well that does well.
Yeah, I know.
So I guess, like, sometimes that's why I make a prediction like the White Sox. I'm trying to reach for something because it's like something is going to be unexpected.
Uh-huh.
And so I think maybe the Mariners are going to get in the playoffs somehow.
Sure.
Somehow.
Yeah. And I'll be curious to watch, say, the Rays this year.
Right.
Who were better than people thought they would be last season.
Totally.
All right. So that's going to conclude our AL wrap-up here on Say Hey. And we're going to go out, though, with Chico State Sports Minute because we don't want to let that go by.
No.
And last week it didn't fire off. It was kind of a dud file. But I believe this week we're going to be good to go. And if we're not, we're going to go straight into the next program. So either way.
Great weekend next weekend. Final four and baseball kicks off.
That's right. We didn't even touch on the hoops this week.
Right.
But that's okay. We've done a lot of hoop talk.
Well, we can do a little championship game preview next Monday night.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll spend a few minutes.
All right, Jordan, what do you got for us on the Chico State front?
What's going on, KZFR listeners? It's your host, DJ J Pounds, and it's time for you to get caught up on your Chico State Weekly Wildcat Wrap-Up. In women's track news, over the weekend at the American River Invitational, Wildcat athletes won 4 of the 16 events Chico State entered, along with a pile of over 30 top 10 finishes. Next week, the Wildcats will be all over the North State, taking part in 3 different meets: the Delta Heptathlon in Stockton on Thursday and Friday, the SF State Distance Carnival, and the Stanford Invitational. In softball news, the Wildcats won a 4-game series against CSU Stanislaus, winning 3 out of 4 games behind some strong hitting from Serena Taylor, Sarah Galovitz, and Allie Cook, bringing them to a record of 20-10 on the season. The Lady Wildcats will be in action every day this weekend as a part of the Stanislaus State Tournament of Champions in Turlock. In women's golf news, last Monday and Tuesday, Chico State's women's golf team finished 9th overall at the CSU Monterey Bay hosted Otter Invitational, behind a top 15 finish from Danny O'Keefe in the 96-player field. The Wildcats return to action April 4th and 5th to compete in the Sonoma State Spring Invitational at Foxtail Golf Club. So that's it on the women's side, and let's throw it over to the men. In men's track news, the Wildcats melted away season best marks in the Sacramento Sun over the weekend at the American River College Invitational, with 21 of 28 competing Wildcats setting new season best marks individually or as part of the